Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to episode 24 of On The Bounce, the Kobe Bryant edition. There's a lot of sports banter that we have to get into, so let's get straight into it. It was an epic weekend, or so-called epic weekend of fighting. We had Mike Tyson versus Jake Paul, the YouTuber versus the geriatric. It was an epic fail. We all couldn't log on to Netflix. I guess this is why we're moving to UFC. And talking about UFC, we had John Bones Jones being absolutely sensational. He had a vicious spinning kick that had me and Ben thinking about all our regrets from bench warmers the night before. But talking about the heroes and the zeros of the weekend, we had Bafana Bafana being absolutely sensational. Once again, I've got to give absolute props to Hugo Bruce. Bafana Bafana went undefeated and are in the AFCON and on top of the league. 11 plus goals. And talking about the Springboks. The Springboks did what the Springboks do best, kick ass and take names. But life is always about balance. It's always about, you know, giving and taking. We had the absolute zeros, as they usually are. The pro tiers were absolute dog shit this weekend. They must be sponsored by Enron or Steinhoff because they give zero fucks and have zero accountability. And I'm going to say it, sounds like white privilege to me. And I usually don't do this on the show, but I speak for the millions and the millions of black fans and millions of black people. And I'm going to use my black card and say this. I thought it was all Themba Bavuma's fault. That's all I've got to say. I thought it was all Themba's fault. But moving on, we've got a super exciting show. We've got Brother Sports. We've got my brother James. We've got Ben. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another episode of On The Bounce.
Well done. Well done. But listen to him, my gentle brother. You're coming in here with these blanket statements, white privilege. I will fight you on that for the protests, but I will give you Aiden Markram privilege. You can have that. And come here with these big blankets.
Oh, I had to say it. It's the most protected squad in South Africa. And like I said, it smells like white privilege to me. Zero accountability for things and hot take of the past. I don't know what that sounds like to you.
Okay, I mean, there's a bit of a conflation there. But I remember a chat I had with you. Let's just say it was like maybe 3 months ago at one of your paddle clubs. And we're chatting and we're talking about the T20 World Cup, where obviously all the batsmen were doing quite badly.
Yeah.
And I said to you, you know what? A tournament like this needs a guy like Themba Bavuma. Solid technique. We'll get going. And you said to me, no, he's fucking shit.
Look,
those were your words.
I know I owe you an apology. Look, guys.
No, straight to Themba, not me. I'm okay.
I am just like everywhere at the pro tiers. But you know what's even worse? You were at the game.
Oh,
and you got to see 5 drop catches, 24 and over, no wickets.
It was
like, what was it, 285 for one?
I try to actually put it out of my mind. I know it was last Friday, but it feels like an eternity ago. It was the worst sporting live experience of my entire life for a variety of ways. Firstly, I just don't think I can do T20 cricket. This playing a song after every ball business, it's like DJ Tourette's. Like, okay, I grew up DJing. That was how my adult life started. I was a professional DJ, and I like music, and I like things to sound a certain way. But if you've just literally got a spurt of this, a spurt of this, I thought I was going to have a breakdown.
I think they were just trying to rain over the booze because the booze were going to rain.
There was no booing because I looked around the cricket stadium and no one actually cared.
Oh, it was just
mostly just families getting out there so they could just not talk to each other for the whole night.
Yeah,
it was so bad. I grew up watching sport where there were supporters that were either happy or sad about a performance. I don't think people actually gave a shit. They were just there screaming at each other.
So
it felt like a different universe and it's not for me. Granted, I am sample 43-year-old white male.
Yeah.
Maybe it's not for me. Maybe I'm not the target market for this. Maybe it is more families who just need the kids to shout at something other than the parents. I don't know. It's not for me, though.
I think it's going to be just basically the theme of what we're going to talk about today, about the cheap nature of what sports is becoming, similar to the Tyson fight. I know we're going to touch on it as well. But it feels very popcorny. That's what's happening now with sports. But for me, there were so many lows with the pro tiers. This is the worst pro tier fielding I've ever seen.
Oh,
so many drop catches. It's the worst bowling I've ever seen. One wicket in a T20. We got absolutely blasted in the power play. And Simelane, I will never forget this over. 3 wides. so many sixes. I think they got 24 off that over. And I was like, is this where, you know, South African bowling is right now? Because that's where we always used to put our hand up on.
I think if I was to quote one of your ex-posts, the words dog shit were used on his particular performance. No, but you're so right, because, and everyone looks back, okay, like the 4-3-8 game, our bowlers got taken to pieces,
yeah.
Okay? But the team had a plan, and they won the game because they were like, okay, we did badly here,
yeah.
We're going to do well here. Do you think our batsmen were even close to that?
And we got to stop holding on to that 4-3-8 game as a crutch for
also
any time
true.
Where shit goes bad.
No.
Like, everyone's like, yeah, we're going to chase down 285. Then, what do the batsmen do? 10 for 4.
On the our batsmen made that pitch look like day one on a test match where the toss was to bowl.
Oh.
That is how terrible it was. So I left halfway through our innings because the Hawks were just so shit.
And I know how you are. You must have taken it so personally.
I mean, look, I was about 3 clips of premiums in at that stage because that's where we got to on this yeah. whole thing. And I just thought, you know what, I've got a whole weekend ahead. I'm not going to get worked up with this. We've still got the Springboks. We've still got UFC.
Yeah.
It was still a golden weekend.
Yeah, 100%.
And it got better. After I left the Wanderers, it got better.
And
but
all
the
that
thing
traffic.
Is, I live in that area, so it's like the stink of that performance now lives in my hood.
And the one thing I've also got to say is, the Proteas are so uninspirational. That's the word.
Uninspiring.
Think. Thank you.
Listless.
Even like when they sing the anthem, you kind of feel like they're going through the motions. Aiden Markram, you expect them to say post interview that we were terrible, we need to be better. But all I heard was wow, 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 wow.
Yeah, I mean,
and look, I know you got some feelings about Aiden Markram as a captain, so just say it right now.
No, I mean, look, the thing about Aiden Markram is that I think he's one of the most disappointing characters in world cricket. I say that because the guy's got ridiculous talent. He was meant to be a generational great, and I know that also sounds quite unfair, but I've always held him at the highest regard. So that's when I say these things. I'm not saying it because I'm trying to be a dick. It's just that guy was the next. He could have had the next impact of a Graham Smith. I don't think he was ever as good as a Cullis, but he was oscillating between those two people for me yeah. with what he could bring. And it hasn't worked out, which is a shame. Nothing personal, it just hasn't worked out. But where do they go from here? I think when something doesn't work out in rugby or the Springboks, there's 4 Oaks that are going to step up and they're going to keep going, taking things forward.
Yeah,
and they don't have that with the Proteas.
And I think with the Proteas, they actually need to want, and we know we're not just going to shit on them the whole time, but yes, we are.
I'm already tired of shitting on them.
Every week, guys. you guys are the gift that keeps on giving on this podcast. You guys got to have a better standard. It's really simple as that. I think we went from mediocre to like below mediocre in our expectations. Now we don't expect much from the Proteas.
Which is so sad.
Which is sad for such a cricket-loving nation.
It's just sad for any national team.
Yeah, and you know, team. And you guys get big endorsements. You guys get all these things that
maybe not anymore.
Top pro athletes get. If I'm the brands, go give it to Bafana Bafana. We're undefeated. We're probably odds favorite to win AFCON. I'm just saying, use your money wisely until these guys respect the fans and respect what we're trying to do as, you know, as a nation.
Yeah. So look, it was a great sporting weekend. Yeah. And on Sunday, we put a post out on our social media channels that we are celebrating That's Gold moments with Clipdrift, as always, because yeah. they are our golden partners here. So I said, share your That's Gold moment for the weekend and you could win a case of Clippies and Cola.
Mm-hmm.
Damn tasty.
Yeah.
So for me, I just want to move to something more positive. So for me, my That's Gold moment for the weekend was Damien de Allendy,
yeah.
best number 12 in the entire world, gets the ball, runs through the English center and eighth man, straightens, gives to Cheslin, try time. Oh. And then SuperSport put out that thing with the Fleetwood Mac soundtrack on top. And in slow-mo, it was one of the most beautiful things I've ever seen, let alone like sporting things.
Hang it in the Louvre,
so for
say.
Me, that was my That's Gold moment. I think it was for many people as well. What was yours?
Mine, That's Gold moment, and thank God I got to wait till today, was yesterday's Bafana Bafana performance. We all thought that they would probably go through the motions. 3-0. Everybody showed up. It was free-flowing football. And just a testament to Hugo Bruce and the style of football he's playing. Undefeated in AFCON,
yeah,
11
point,
plus
that,
goals.
Huh? That's a good point because it could have been a game where the foot was off the pedal.
Yeah. He said, I'm not going for that. And the mentality of the team was there. Rowan gets 50 caps for Bafana, got the clap off. We don't see these moments. And also, filled up stadium. DHL Stadium was filled up in Cape Town. So well, we're in a great...
It was the bottom tier. Let's not push it.
Yo, filled out. That's what we saw and that's what we heard. So that was my That's Gold moment. So yeah, shout out to Bafana Bafana.
Okay, two great moments. So we put it on social media and this week's winner, Flex, if I can get the screen up here. This week's winner was JP Roussel on the Clipdrift That's Gold competition because he said, it's a Beth and a toy, double charge down leading to a try. We'll never see that again.
Yeah.
That was a real, that was an incredible That's Gold moment because when last, I've never seen that before.
Yeah, we both lost our minds when we were watching the game.
And it was such a cool time of the game. It was like, look, England, you're in for a tough day.
Yeah.
And those two behemoths coming down and charging those two kicks.
Yeah, man, that was awesome. And, you know, that just gave us that motivation, you know, for the rest of the game. Great. So it was super great, yeah.
So, JP, you win for yourself the case of the Clippies and Cola. We're doing this again this week. So, after the weekend, go onto our social media, and with the hashtag That's Gold, you can also share your That's Gold moment, of which there'll be many because SA are going to beat Wales by 73 points. And there'll be other things to look out for as well. So that's our competition giveaway for the week. Another case coming next week. This week on the show, we're talking about brothers in sport.
Yeah.
Now, not only just talking about black guys with that, of course. I'm talking about actual brothers, siblings in sports.
I like what you did.
Hey, you start out with the right things. I'm coming back at you.
I like what you did right there.
So, catch us with that, our main topic for this week after the break. Welcome back. Sandile, do you like my shirt, huh?
I like it. And I actually want to throw this out to you. You give him a bit of a Chiefs vibe. You and Kevin Peterson are giving Chiefs vibes of late. I see he posted something about Kaiser Chiefs, and of course he posted him back. So shout out to you. I see you've changed from Pirates to Chiefs. I'm becoming a good influence in your life.
No, but it's a Juventus Chiefs shirt because it's a Juventus shirt, but it's in the colors.
It's giving fully Chiefs.
But
right
I've got to share this because, I mean, we all fuck things up on the show. Like, so a mate of mine gave me a shirt for his business.
Yep.
To shout out Rookie, Mark, your business, I think is great.
Yeah.
And I put the shirt on, not thinking that the actual logo is the same color as our green screen. So I go to, I sit down, we're about to go for the show, and I've got this massive hole in my chest, basically.
It looked so weird. And, you know, Ben never fucks up. So that was absolutely amazing for the rest of us on the show. So shout out to you, Ben.
Got the replacement Juventus Chiefs shirt in the mixer. Yeah. It's quite nice, though. It's
quite fun.
All right, so this week we're talking about brothers in sports. So Rusty announced his team, obviously, early in the week. And Jaden and Jordan Hendrickson are playing for the Bucks. Yeah. So they started out their career at, I think it was Glenwood High, KZN. They went on to the Sharks, and they've been that sort of dynamic brother duo.
Cool.
But now they get to be brothers for the Bucks.
Yeah.
So it got me thinking, like, that's a really cool subject to kind of go through because there's actually been so many famous sporting brothers.
Yeah.
Rugby's massive.
Cool.
So these two, Jaden and Jordan, are the first brothers to play for the Bucks since? Since?
Bismarck?
Bismarck and Yanni, correct.
Yes. So Bismarck
and Yanni, there we go. Look at them. Just absolute mountains of men. They grew up in Bloem. They carried on their careers. They're also at the Sharks, and they were the last brother duo.
Yeah.
So then I was looking through rugby, and rugby is just endless amounts of brothers. So if you go back, sorry, my joke from earlier is still hitting me.
Just move on. I knew I positioned it too much in the entrance. You're going to run with it. Anyway, let's go.
So, Carl and Michael Duplessis, back in the day, they were a dynamic Bok duo. So, this was like, I don't know, like early
80s. This was giving NAS and stuff, right?
This was like giving not pre-NAS.
Okay.
And they were like absolute gods back in the Bok. And then they had a brother called Vili. So, the three of them played for Western Province back in the day. Okay. Robert Dupria. He had three kids, Robert Jr., Daniel, and Jean-Luc. They've all been capped for the Bucks. Don't think Robert has, though. But they all played for the Sharks as well. Mm. But then if you go further afield, Gavin, Scott Hastings. Remember those oaks?
No.
Absolute stalwarts for Scotland rugby.
Shout out to them.
In the 90s, Rory and Tony Underwood, they played in the same team.
Cool.
I can't remember if it was Rory or Tony that got run over by Jonah Lomu a couple of times in 95. But then he gets even deeper than this, right? Three Vunipolo brothers played for Tonga in the mid-90s. That's three in the family. Then in 2015, three PC brothers ran out for Samoa against SA. In 2015, actually, there was two sets of brothers at the same time. The Vunipolo brothers, Mako and Billy, and then Ben and Tom Youngs. So two pairs.
So this is like a real thing in rugby.
It's weird.
It's English. So like, damn. Okay.
Okay, but you know where I'm going with this, right?
Yeah.
I'm teeing up for the ultimate family of rugby.
Yep.
The Barretts.
Yo, the Barretts.
The Barretts. So Bowden Barrett's the oldest.
Yep.
out of these three here. Mm-hmm. Then it's Scott Barrett, who's the current captain of All Blacks, and then Jordy is the youngster.
Yeah.
Jordy's a bit of a beast there, eh? Yep, 6 foot Jordy. 5 backline player.
Yeah, Jordy's awesome.
Okay, so we know of the three Barretts. There's two other brothers. There's two other brothers. There's Kane Barrett.
Okay.
So Kane Barrett was the same age as I think he's a little bit younger than Bowden. So Kane was also tracking to become an All Black. Horrific head injury playing New Zealand under 20s. So basically that was it. They said basically you're going to be using a colostomy bag the rest of your life if you carry on with the head knocks. Oof. Not actual doctor's words, just my ones. Okay. So Kane on the mix, but he fell away. And then there's Blake Barrett.
Okay.
Now Blake Barrett.
This is like a terrible picture, but
So Blake Barrett, he played like 100 club games for somewhere in New Zealand, but he now plays village cricket in England.
Village cricket.
He's like totally understated. So like
backyard cricket.
He doesn't tell anyone that he's
looks
related.
Like fucking Ed Sheeran.
He doesn't tell anyone who he's related to.
Yeah.
So the boys at the cricket club.
That's great genetics, man.
But this, okay, so a few weeks in of Blake playing village cricket in England,
right.
They said, "Hey, mate, you're a Kiwi. Your last name is Barrett. Are you related at all to the rugby players?"
He shamed him three times and said, "No, I'm telling you."
No, so I mean, the joke's modest. He goes, "Yeah, we're related." So then the guy goes, "You know, cousins, what's the story?" "No, no,
that's
my brother. It's my brother.
That's my butt." Oh, that's awesome.
So there's five Barrett boys, but this is where it gets interesting. There's three Barrett girls. Eight.
They can't all be like eight. Athletes as well.
No. Let's not go with the daughters being athletes. But you've got to ask the question. Kevin Barrett, the Cirque.
Yeah.
Worst pullout game in the world. He's a Kevin Barrett, the farmer. Cheapest did he go to the plow.
Oh, I'm not going to entertain your joke.
Hey, kids. So he also played rugby.
Really?
Yeah, old, there he is.
Oh, look at it. Okay, Dad Barrett.
So any suggestions where his position was?
I'm not going to entertain your joke. You said.
Eighth man. No, he was a flanker and there was a lock. But you got to think with eight kids under the belt. But I think that the biggest thing here is you've actually got to look for Robin Barrett. This woman, not only should she give birth to eight kids, but I mean, this woman, there should be statues of what... Talk about commitment to society of New Zealand.
New Zealand got to give her a statue. She's given so much to the game. She is the ultimate warrior right now.
So I reckon if you go to any of those New Zealand stadiums, there should be a Robin Barrett statue. I mean, she
at least give her a stand.
Give her a stand. Give her something. This woman has literally given so much to this country and the rugby team.
She deserves free healthcare. She's been supporting that healthcare system for a very long time.
So it gets deeper than this.
Okay.
Samoa have five brothers, two Iluggies. They played over like a 15-year period.
Damn.
And the sixth brother played for England. So now you've got six siblings, all play international rugby.
One defector.
He grew up in England and then he just ended up playing for England.
Okay.
Manu Tuilagi.
Yeah.
So as much as the Barretts were the OGs of like the brothers in rugby, the Tuilagi family... Shout out to Mom Tuilagi there.
Yo,
as
man,
well.
I've got no. For me, I'm just talking about the pullout game for Mr. Barrett, eighth man. They actually the goats, and he is a goat. I mean, three epic, you know, sons who can play all could have been at one
four.
Time.
Could have been four. Huh? So there's a really cool podcast with Kane Barrett out there.
Okay.
I think it's called the Good Lad Podcast. I should have actually got that on screen. Yeah. And they interview the Soak, basically. But it's also kind of sad because he knows where he could have been. He's obviously happy for his brothers.
Yeah, he didn't want it. I think he was just like...
Didn't want it. He had head injuries. You know, I hear the part of that story.
But also, like, he looked like Ed Sheeran with a, you know, New York Knicks.
No, that was a different one. Talking about Kane, the first Barrett.
Oh, the first Barrett, yeah.
So that's the thing. There's
another not the pull-out game Barrett. Not the pull-out game Barrett.
Okay, let's move on from the Barretts because it's becoming like Inception now. All right, cricket. Another great, great sport for brothers. Graham and Peter Pollock. Albie and Mornay Morkel.
Yes, Albie and Mornay. I hear you. Graham and Peter Pollock, I'm going to give them that privilege of like, why? I hear Graham Pollock was epic. What is Peter Pollock on about?
Peter Pollock was all right, but Graham was generational talent, no
doubt.
But look, this was long before we were born, so we can't really get into it. Albie and Mornay.
Albie and Mornay. Yeah.
So Albie played only one test match, and sadly, Mornay didn't play in that test match.
Well, they didn't get to play together.
But they got to play limited service cricket with each other, obviously.
Yeah, obviously.
Australia, these Oaks loved a bit of a family game, family deal. So back in the 70s, 80s, there was the Chappell brothers, Trevor, Ian and Greg. What was famous about these Oaks?
I don't know.
Think something dodgy. A little bit impromptu trivia here.
Smell. Trash talk. What?
Okay. Trevor Chappell was the Oak that bowled underarm to win the game.
That was the controversy.
Yes, that Oak. He was one of the brothers.
What a bad man.
What a Trevor Chappell.
Oh, that's the guy who started this controversy of the underarm.
Yes, that was him. That was him.
And then he had two of that ball, and then he bowled underarm. That's
and crazy. Then they all became commentators. Sean and Mitch Marsh, they currently playing. Yep. Their dad was Rod Marsh. But the most famous of all the brothers.
Talk about it.
All the brothers was Mark and Steve Waugh.
Absolute epic.
Basically, if Bono from U2 was from Timu, you could take your pick between those two over there.
Either or. These guys were absolutely epic. For that generation of Australian. For me, that's the best generation of Australian cricket. But those two led from the front. Steve being awesome. I think Mark gets underrated, but Steve and Mark were absolutely amazing in that cricket team. Followed by Ricky Ponting and Adam Gilchrist and everyone else.
It was that foundation. Also, that was when cricket first got into TV properly.
Yeah,
after the 92 World Cup, it was obviously a very professional game.
They were the biggest stars for me in terms of Australian cricket, that dynamic duo. So they were awesome, yeah.
So they were twins, of course.
Yeah.
Growing up, they were like in each other's pocket the whole way through, as you would expect. The moment they sort of left school, they wanted to have their own thing. Mm. So they did whatever they could to be separate. And it was a very weird thing because they twins are obviously very intertwined. Yeah. But, you know, famously, Steve Waugh was the very dedicated, very focused, serious guy.
Yeah.
Mark was like, yeah, I'll play cricket. It's all right. They were that different in personality.
You could actually see it. Yeah. He was
Steve.
Steve
broke onto the scene first and then got dropped for his brother. So Mark made his debut at the expense of Steve.
That's crazy.
Their careers kind of went on. I mean, Steve will always be the more prolific guy.
Yeah.
He was the captain. He did so much. But they played 14 years of international cricket together.
Yeah, that's
14 years.
They were sensational. And they lifted the World Cup together.
They did. They did everything.
Was he part of that team that broke our hearts?
It was Alan, very much that.
Alan Donald's curse.
Herschel Gibbs dropped Steve Waugh to drop the tournament, which wasn't actually a line.
Who do you blame, Herschel Gibbs or?
Absolutely Herschel Gibbs.
Herschel
could have done it. Every episode you mention Alan. Let's move on. Okay, well, look, fun fact, a little bit less known, but both Mark and Steve all went on to have Indian families too.
That is crazy.
That is, of course, false.
That's an AI, right?
Of course, if you are watching the show in the visual form, this is classic, yeah. Because I was trying to find pictures of these two, and
Flex,
for some
you
reason,
play too much in the back. You guys play too much in
production.
How
crazy is this picture? I mean, obviously, every cricket is big in India. This might not even be AI. This might just be an Indian commercial. You never know.
Whatever it is freaking me out. All right,
so let's get more into your wheelhouse here, football.
Yeah.
There's been some great brothers.
Yeah.
I'm going to open up with brothers that I'm pretty sure you would not have known about.
Never.
Bobby Charlton. Legend.
Yeah.
66.
Man United.
England. Same team.
England lifting captain. Yeah.
Same team. Jack Charlton.
Who the hell is Jack? Who the hell is Jack? You know, that's not a real thing.
Jack played in defense. He was there. They look similar. I had no idea until I was researching this show that Bobby had a brother called Jack.
Shout out to Jack.
He played for Leeds.
Jack, yo, man, I'm sorry. You know, sometimes you win some, you lose some. Who the hell is Jack?
Jack Charlton.
Jack, I mean, they even built a statue for your brother. Ain't no statue for you at Leeds. Lucas got a statue before you. Anyway, let's move along. What a boring combination. Next.
Another combination that was probably better known was the De Boer brothers.
Yeah.
Frank and Ronald.
Yeah. And they both played at Barca.
So they were obviously Dutch. Yeah. So Ajax Academy.
Yeah.
They then became stars of the Ajax team back when the Ajax team was like the business.
Yeah.
And then they sort of follow each other way around. Interesting career here because, you know, we spoke about Mark and Steve Waugh. They wanted to separate themselves because they wanted their own identity.
Yeah.
These folks were like, cool, we're going to do this career together kind of thing.
Yeah, they ran with it. I think there are a prelude of who we're going to talk about, the GOAT brothers in football. I'm not going to tell you who they are. You know who they are. But anyway, They were awesome, and they also went on to have a very awesome international career as well for Holland. I always say between Frank and Ronald, Frank was always better because, you know, he played more international caps for Holland, and then he went on to have a stronger coaching career, which was an epic fail when he came to the EPL. But yeah, I mean, that's a great, you know, brother combination.
It was kind of during the Barcelona era.
Yeah.
They went there, Frank made a much better fist of it, basically.
Yeah, 100%.
And then so much so that Ronald was like, it's not going great, I'm going to go to Rangers. So he went to Rangers under another Dutch coach. What's with these Dutch coaches just being so...
Let's not get into it.
About themselves. Their people.
Apparently, we've all moved on. So let's not get into that.
So going from the De Boer brothers, Yaya and Kola Touré.
Jumping back to what you're saying about brothers, and we're not talking about culture. Kolo and Yaya Touré, probably one of the most successful brother combination or African brother combination. There's Jordan Ayew as well and his brother as well, but Kolo and Yaya Touré were so epic, especially for, you know, their nation. They were awesome, but Kolo Touré had a great career at Arsenal and at City.
Yeah.
But Yaya Touré is Yaya Touré. He was so spectacular for Man City. It's a pity that Man City don't respect him, but as a combination, you know, I really put them up there. They're still not the goats of brothers in football, but they were super awesome. And, you know, Yaya Touré is epic. And, you know, Kolo Touré was a great captain for Arsenal, and people don't really speak about it like that. Yaya Touré got a very short-handed spell because when Pep came in, he kind of dropped him and life moved on. But everybody who supports, you know, Man City knows he was that wave of change moving into this dominance of Man City. And he's probably one of the, you know, both of them are probably one of the greatest combinations in African football, and probably defense and midfield in combination. They're up there in the greatest, you know, African footballers of all time. So, yeah, that is a great brother combination. I have no hate for them.
Okay, so obviously there are going to be some omissions here on this list. I can't get every brother in sports, yeah, otherwise I'll be here all day.
I'll give you some fan favorites when we keep on going. But
okay, but let's get to the Boateng brothers next.
Overhyped.
But there's interesting story around these guys, so that's why I want to bring them up.
Yeah.
They're technically half-brothers because Kevin Prince.
Yeah.
So his dad pulled a Kevin Barrett with the one wife. And then Jerome was the younger brother with the second wife.
Yeah.
So half-brothers.
Yeah.
So they didn't even really grow up together. Mm. But then they just kind of went their own sort of ways. Like Kevin Prince, he was left out of the...
The Ghana squad.
It was like a under 20, 21 German squad.
Yeah, and then he said, I'm defective.
He went to a nightclub. The coach was like, nope, don't like your discipline.
Yep.
So he was like, okay, cool, going to Ghana.
Yep.
Defected. And then it was in Johannesburg, 2010 World Cup, where Jerome and Kevin Prince played against each other for the first time, and it was the first time that brothers played against each other in the World Cup. They did it again in Rio. In the Brazil World Cup.
For me, it's... These guys are mild in terms of a brother combination. We just come from talking about Yaya.
But there's drama here. I'm trying to spice it up.
There's everything. One is a bloody influencer for football. We always think Kevin Prince, he's just a great-looking guy. I will say it. He's a great-looking guy. He never really did much. He's got a couple...
He went to a lot of different clubs.
And then he moonwalked for AC Milan. And it was like, Zlatan was like, what are you doing? We're professionals. Jerome, we all know the Jerome meme. I hope Flex pulls it up, where Lionel Messi absolutely destroys him. And those are the career highlights. But, you know, Jerome did have a solid career for Germany as well, until he got dropped for Matty Hummels. But, brothers. Yeah.
Okay, but got to give it to Kevin Prince. He's a man of principle. Because when Jerome was found guilty of assaulting his partner, he was like,
I'm backing my boy.
I denounce you.
That's my brother.
No, he said, I denounce you. They haven't spoken.
That's some fucked up
shit. On the back of gender-based violence, Kevin Prince was like, that's it. I don't associate with you anymore, Jerome.
Let me leave my politics on that. Sweet.
That was a very strange outburst.
I'm like, back your brother.
Okay, so let's bring this back on track.
Before we get canceled.
Absolutely no endorsing gender-based violence.
Yeah.
The Neville brothers.
Oh, yeah. What I really, really wanted to talk about. I've been waiting for this part. He's been loading up all these boring brothers. He knew I was going to give in on the Yaya Touré thing and the Kolo Touré thing because of how he started.
Can you please move on for the Touré's?
Gary and Phil. All right, let's talk about it. As we know, they come from the most famous football club in England. Class of 92, that's a big thing. And they won 6 leagues together.
Huge.
And they won a Champions League together,
huge.
You know, that 98 one. I'm going to read you some facts that they have. They hold the most appearances for a brother combination for England, 31 together.
Together, that's
and
good.
And then as a combination, they have 142 caps. I think Gary had more caps and was more successful. But well, I think
I mean, like Gary will go down as a bit of a legend because Phil kind of went to Everton.
Yeah,
both of them were shit coaches. But I mean,
yeah, and at least look, they kept it. You know, they kept it running together. They were, yeah. You know, they were shit off the field and pretty. You know, in hindsight, he's a legend at Man United, but that's because of the 602 appearances. But Gary was, you know, towards the tail end, Sir Alex was just kind of riding for his boys. But that for me is a real combination and real brotherhood there. Six leagues in the EPL.
It's huge.
Champions League. England caps, 31 together. I mean, Ronald and Frank at 24.
Yeah.
You know, and that's, you know, they have the most combined. There's no Jack and Bobby with regards to those England caps.
Shout out Jack Charlton.
And, yeah, man, and that is what we're talking about. And that's exactly the spirit of brotherhood. And they were both successful. They were equally terrible as coaches. So I think, you know, their parents have got balance. As we said in the beginning, life gives and love takes like the protein.
Speaking of parents, do you know what Gary and Phil's dad's name is?
I have no idea. And I know, as per usual, you're going to give me fun facts.
Their dad's name is Neville.
It's Neville Neville.
Neville Neville.
That's fucking shocking. I hate that.
The dad's called Neville Neville.
I hate, absolutely. Hate that. So I'm going to give you some other fun facts. That's terrible. That's such an English thing to do, man. Rafinha and Thiago Alcântara. People always miss these two. A lot of people don't think that they're brothers, but they also go with the Kevin Prince and the Jerome thing.
So a bit of a half, or they're just...
No, brothers.
Oh, brothers.
But Rafinha decided to go play for Brazil. Thiago decided to represent Spain.
Oh.
I'm not exactly sure the politic on that, but Rafinha, when he tried to trial out for Spain... got kicked out. Then he said, you know what? I'm going to go play. They both started at Barcelona. And, you know, Rafinha had a pretty average career at Barcelona. Thiago's, you know, career got cut short with injuries. And he went back to Barcelona to be assistant coach. Then in true Barcelona fashion, we don't have money, so fuck off. So that is another fun fact in football for me. That's another great, you know, sibling combination in professional football. And how can I forget? You know, Man United, the gift that keeps on giving.
Fabio and
Rafael.
Are you saying these are the best?
Who?
I mean, I don't know.
No, the gift that keeps on giving. You know, Man United and Sir Alex Ferguson era. Brothers, if you're great together, they'll let you run together. Fabio and Rafael. Cult heroes also lifted three leagues together. That is crazy. I didn't know that, but shout out to Sir Alex.
Okay, so if we were to say what's the best brother combo, oh, Yayo Gary. And Kolo, is that what
no,
we're
no, 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 Gary and Phil.
Gary and Phil.
Yeah, combination.
Combination.
Also winning together.
Okay, fair enough. American football, we have to bring this up because we've got to bring in the American sports here.
Yeah.
Eli and Peyton Manning. So Peyton's the older one. He's the one on the left in this picture here. Obviously, the guy in the middle is Manning Manning.
Yeah, shout out to Manning Manning.
No, that's not Manning. His name. So Peyton, 48, Eli, he's the younger guy there, 43. The first question you ask is, who had a better career? And it's pretty much down the line, huh?
It's down the line, but Peyton always had a better career because he's got more, I think he's got more passing touchdowns and more yardage.
So yeah, if you go into the actual like
stats. I mean, as a dad, I'd be absolutely okay with how everything, both the champions.
Two Super Bowls each.
And both are final, you know, and both won, you know, MVPs at the end. And, you know, that's all you want. They are, in terms of American football, they're the GOATs there. That is one of the greatest sibling combination for me.
Well, yeah. It carries on now, because unlike the Neville brothers, they're actually pretty good coaches. And they actually coach against each other.
And they've got a pretty great analysis. So usually what the NFL will do, they'll allow them to, like, commentate on live games. And they're awesome together because they know how to read games. So Peyton and Eli are flipping awesome.
Yeah, and if you want any sort of drama, the only drama they have is between those two are on golf tours normally. They get a bit hammered and they get out of hand.
Oh, shout out to them. They're allowed to do that. American GOATs.
So the NBA, of course, that's a big sport that you love. There are quite a few documented brother things here.
I'll jump straight into it. I'm not going to be too long on this. We have Brooke and Robin Lopez. You know, one has got crazy hair. The one is super chilled. You'd never ever think that they were brothers, but they would have been epic. Both centers, both 7+. One is a champion, and they're super awesome. Great athletes and great basketball players. And then we have Giannis and Kostas and Giannis. I got to get it right. Antetokounmpo. I always butcher it, please. Two are champions, which is crazy. You know, Giannis and Giannis are no, Giannis and Kostas are both champions. One of the LA Lakers and Giannis, you know, being the MVP. Their story is epic. There's a big, big Disney documentary about them. Their story is super amazing. Giannis comes up, Kostas then comes up, and then Giannis, who's the oldest, eventually comes up, gets called up to the Milwaukee Bucks, and him and his brother play together, and it's such a beautiful story. They've been super epic, and, you know, they've won. We've got Seth and Stephen Curry. What's crazy about Seth?
Hang on a sec. Let's get back to the
The Antetokounmpo brothers.
For brothers, they've got very Greek-sounding names.
Yes, it's one of those ones. They are... So they immigrated to Greece, and then, you know, in the true Greek fashion, if you look at the Greek national basketball team, there are a lot of random black guys. I'll say it for you guys. It always shocks me. I'm like, every season you watch, you know, the EuroLeague qualifiers and all the European basketball nationals, and you're like, what are all these random black people doing in this team? But this is, you know, what Greece have done. And, you know, Greece have really embraced that multiculturalism in their basketball, in the national basketball team. And they've been epic. That's a beautiful story for the Antetokounmpo brothers. Then we've got Seth and Stephen Curry. What is crazy about this combination is Seth was highly recruited and played for Duke, which is one of the most prestigious universities in basketball. And Seth went to Davidson. Seth was highly underrated, wasn't as great. It wasn't projected to be as good because he was scrawny. And Seth was, at the time, the better shooter, which is so strange because Stephen Curry is now the greatest shooter in basketball history. So that's always, you know, a story of how you...
That must always suck knowing that, hey, because you want, again, like the Barrett thing, you want to be happy for your brother, but it's like, fuck, that could have been me.
Yeah, and, you know, he's a four-time... Steph Curry's a four-time champ.
Yeah.
And, like, he was the highly recruited guy. And, like, everyone was just like, well... Seth, thanks for coming. But he still had a great career. You know, his dad, Dal Curry, was all-time shooter as well in NBA history. Dal Curry was one of the greatest three-point shooters in NBA history. So it's clearly genetic. The story is when they were kids, he broke their habits in terms of shooting. Steph used to have a terrible shot. They used to shoot 1,000 times a day to fix Steph Curry's shot. And that was, you know, the story of Dal Curry. And huge, 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 huge success to, you know, siblings and what we've been talking about. They're awesome. And in terms of the last ones that I want to talk about in the NBA, we've got the Holiday brothers. There are three of them. It's Justin, Drew, and Aaron Holiday. They're just like real homeboy fashion, and like they really just love each other. So anytime they link up and they play against each other, they take all the pictures. And once again, as we've been talking about, this is such a great family. And Drew is the most successful one, NBA champion.
Nice.
So he's awesome. Yeah.
Okay, a sport that you might not think we're going to talk about ever or often is triathlon and the Brownlee brothers. Now, of course, the Brownlee brothers, there is two of them. Alistair, the older one, he is the more successful one. So he won gold at the Rio Olympics. Johnny, the younger guy, won silver. But that's pretty cool, huh? A little 1-2 for the family.
Oh, is this the infamous
But now in the
picture?
World champs of the same year, Johnny, the younger brother, okay, just won silver. He's killing it. He's now ahead of the pack. He's going to win this whole thing. His brother Alistair is a good minute behind in second. Johnny gets to literally the finish. Body fucks out, dehydrated, cramped, everything. Alistair picks him up basically and carries him over to the line.
Yeah.
As this is all happening, South African Henry, what's his name now? Henry Schoolman comes through. He wins.
He said, like, fuck you guys.
So he wins. So Alistair, he could have won. He could have come second even, but he carried his brother, and he pushed his brother over the line to get second, so he got third. So like a nice brotherly story in the throes of combat, basically.
Yeah, that's beautiful. I love that.
To which, like, people asked him afterwards, surely you could have just won this and then got your brother afterwards. And he said, no, my mother would not have liked that.
They would have murdered him at home.
That's
jeez.
The thing. It's like my mother didn't raise me that way.
Yeah, it's like, no ways. But that's a beautiful story, man. I really
speaking
like
of brothers, in boxing, this is like another mother story that I was getting to. Yeah. The Klitschko brothers, Vitali and Vladimir.
Yeah.
So Vitaly was kind of seen as the better brother, I think, if you would look at it. He never got knocked out.
Never got knocked out.
He was so damn good. Yeah. Vladimir lost to Corey Sanders. Okay, that's why we probably know him more in South African circles. Yeah. And when Corey Sanders had the title, his very next fight was against Vitaly. And Vitaly beat him.
And he gave him that work.
Vitaly then went 12 defenses of the WBC title. Mm-hmm. So as you know, in boxing, there's different divisions. Yeah. And these oaks promised their mother they would never fight.
And that's the fight we all wanted.
Everybody wanted, okay? So there was sort of like the Klitschko era was around 14, 15 years.
And we never saw that fight.
So Vitaly had the WBC thing, belt, mm. that was his.
Yeah.
And then Vladimir went and won the other ones, IBF, IBO. WBO, and WBA.
Yeah.
But how cool is that for a story, that these oaks wouldn't fight each other, so they never unified all the belts, but they basically had all the belts.
That's super cool, but I wish they gave us that fight. But shout out to Mamzo on that one.
Yeah.
See, saying like, hey, I don't want them politics.
Mothers always come first.
Yep.
Now, Formula One, I think it's been nine sibling duos in the history of Formula One.
Damn, that's
the deep. Most well-known, of course, the Schumachers. Yep. So Michael was the greatest, we all know. 91 wins, 155 podiums. Ralph, his other brother, or his brother
Ralph,
there.
Ralph was scamming. Let's tell the truth.
Ralph, 6 wins, 27 podiums. And Ralph had a pretty good idea what the back of a Ferrari looked like.
Yeah, Ralph. Because
he was kind of. Was
yo,
there.
Ralph was scamming. Yo, Ralph, I feel bad for Ralph because damn, Michael was that good, man.
Yeah, he was. But the interesting story about Ralph is that he always saw Michael as his mentor, basically. It was never just a brother thing. Like, he literally was his mentor from early days of go-karting and that kind of stuff.
What's the age difference between them?
Fuck, I don't know.
Okay, so, but he's the younger brother.
Younger brother.
I'm sorry I fucked you up on that.
No, he's younger brother. I can't tell you much. But what I can tell you about Ralph is that he is now gay. He came out as gay in this year, 2024.
Damn.
So he got divorced. His wife then had an OnlyFans account. Not making this up. So Ralph divorced his wife, who then had an OnlyFans account, which she subsequently has closed, I may add.
Okay.
Because she wants to work on her self-growth. So Ralph's now come out as gay. The OnlyFans account's now closed. No one knows if Michael's kind of dead or alive.
Guys, that is something we really need to find out. As that, so, a sporting community and
interesting
people
brotherly look, story here.
Is he? Because it's been like almost what, like 7-8 years though.
It's been a long time here, and that documentary they brought out as a family and told us nothing.
Told us nothing. So, guys, either we need to check on Mike. It's giving Britney Spears. Or we, like...
Nothing gives Britney Spears.
Or we, for RIPs. We just need some truth.
Tennis. Now, if you think, there's no better sport for brothers because you can play doubles.
Yep.
And there was no better doubles partnership in the history of the game than the Bryan brothers.
Mm.
I mean, these oaks literally did come out of the womb together, as you can see from this rather inappropriate picture.
This is a really strange picture, Ben.
But these oaks together, 16 Grand Slam titles.
Doubles only, right?
So you know the thing about twins is that they say there's like a telepathy kind of thing. And there's a weird connection.
Yeah.
So on a tennis court, they knew exactly what was going on. How difficult must have been to fight, play against these oaks?
Yeah.
So Mike, the older brother, well, I mean, older, they're twins. It's not exactly a huge gap there. 18 Grand Slams, because he then won Grand Slams with a mixed partner on two occasions. Yeah, one of which was Martina Navratilova.
Oh, that's a fun
And then Bob got the 16 with his brother. But I know we're just talking about brothers. We're going to wrap it up with something. We'll wrap up the section with, I think, the best sibling couple of all time. So, I mean, you agree with me. The Williams sisters.
Yeah, come on, man.
As much as the Bryants are great.
And we're talking about sisters.
Sisters. We have to bring in the sisters here in our brothers of sport.
Yeah.
Because together these two are quite something here. 14 Grand Slam titles in the doubles. Now, we all know that obviously like Venus won 7 by herself.
Yeah.
Serena, 23 greatest of all time by herself. But another cool stat is they won 3 Olympic doubles gold medals together.
That's crazy.
Sydney, Beijing, and London.
Yeah.
They sort of took a break and, yeah.
And you can see the connection even like with Venus always watching Serena towards the tail end of her career. And they always never miss each other's games, you know.
But they're also fierce rivals though.
Fierce and compete.
I remember, I think the two of them were like the turning point that made women's tennis, I think, a lot more watchable,
yeah,
a lot more professional.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the skill level had to just rocket up there.
Yeah,
and that's why I think they're probably the best sibling couple in all of sport.
Yep, I agree with you with that. And when you watch the Serena docu, the one that was on ESPN, she even tells you like she had to beat Venus because remember Venus was number one for some time.
Yeah.
And then the only person who could beat Venus was Serena. And it was such a mental block for her. And then eventually when they beat her, it just became such a beautiful thing. So I love that they both could compete and they still had the respectability for each other to support each other towards their end of the game.
But without Venus, Serena wasn't the greatest.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, what a benchmark to grow into.
Can you imagine?
Pretty amazing.
Yeah.
Let's wrap up with, I think, the only time we'll ever see this, current father and son.
Oh, you know.
I mean, this is pretty crazy.
You know how much I love this. So this year, Bronny James Jr. got recruited and drafted 55th pick to the Los Angeles Lakers. It's the first time in NBA history that the father-son combination play together, start together. It was a beautiful way to start, you know, season. You know, we're probably not going to see a lot of Bronny going into the rest of the NBA season, but this was such a beautiful story. You know, 22 years that LeBron James has been in this league, and he got to, you know, we've seen Bronny being born, go through his journey, have cardiac, he had a cardiac arrest when he was at USC. Wow. And there were thought that he might not come back. He recovered, he continued to play a while, declared for the draft, Lakers picked him up. And it's such a beautiful story to watch LeBron and his son interact game to game. Even if Bronny doesn't become a huge superstar in this league, that story alone is epic. And what is beautiful, and it's another American story, is that Ken Griffey Sr. and Ken Griffey Jr. from MLB came to see the opening of that. If you watch the, you know, Major League Baseball, you'll know that Ken Griffey's all-time and Ken Griffey's dad was all-time as well. And they got to play on the same team for, like, I think 2 seasons. So that was a nice little, you know, American story. And in true Hollywood fashion, it could only happen in LA. So, yeah, that's super awesome.
And a good thing in sport, huh?
Yeah.
Right, so that wraps up our brothers in sports. We got the weekend preview, of course, coming up. There's going to be another fantastic weekend. We've got rugby. We've got football. The Premier League is back. But I'm pretty sure as it comes back, it'll be another one of those stupid fucking international breaks. God, I hate those so much. We've also got Telkom Knockout Cup. Actually, you know what? I'm not going to tell you what's up. Just join us after the break. Welcome back. The weekend special. That's what this part of the segment always is because, hey, you've made it to the sporting weekend. So I might as well tell you exactly where you are. I mean, we all have busy lives. Sometimes sport isn't the priority, but check in with us once a week on The Bounce Show. And if it's big in sport, it's on The Bounce Show.
Gibble.
That's what I always say.
Yes, sir.
Well, I don't, but I mean, it sounds like one of those taglines that we probably should have.
Yeah, shut up.
So this weekend, rugby internationals are back. The autumn internationals have been good fun to this point. Not so much for the Northern Hemisphere, but they did kind of bounce back last week. Huh?
Ooh,
so good for them.
I was shocked.
I was a little bit shocked. I mean, look, Argentina almost did the impossible by beating Ireland, which everybody wanted to see.
Yeah.
We all know Wales are shite. France beating New Zealand on a very tight one. Also kind of expected that, though. So if you look at the world rankings now, Springboks still number one. Extended our lead. You know. Ireland have come back to second. New Zealand have dropped to third. And then we've got France as your Champions League spots, top four. Argentina at number five. Scotland number six. And the team the Springboks are playing this week are basically like the Man United of world rugby. They're down there.
Too early. Too
11th.
Soon.
11th position is Wales. Now, Wales haven't got a hope in hell of winning. Now, I say this for obvious reasons, but if you look at Wales' last matches, they've lost their last, just to kind of go through exactly how horseshit these Oaks are, okay? So obviously they got hammered by Australia, then they lost to Fiji, two away to Australia, they lost to us at the beginning of the season, understandable. But then in the Six Nations, they lost to Italy at home, they lost to France at home, they lost to Ireland away, England away.
Scotland.
The last time they won a game as a team in red jerseys was against the Barbarians, which doesn't really count. But the week before that, they lost to Argentina. So let's just go 11. This could be their 12th test match loss. It will be their 12th test match loss.
Do they have to do the sport thing and like fire the coach? Or have they been in and out of firing?
There's only one rugby coach in all of Wales. His name is Warren Gatland. Oh, it's like they have no choice. It's weird. It's like he's got like a
isn't Eddie Jones looking for a job again?
No one likes Eddie Jones. Okay, so looking at the fixtures, before we get into that, there's obviously games before that. So yep. Friday night, we've got France versus Argentina. Going to back the French to get that one done again. It'll be the late game, 10 yep. o'clock. This thing with the French, you know, they've got to get the dinner in, they've got to get the seducing in, they've got to get the casual sex in. So that's why their games are just so late every time.
You said that, I didn't.
Every time. Saturday, we've got Ireland versus Fiji, 10 past 5, and then there it is, Wales versus SA, 20 to 8. Happy with the team?
Happy with the team. We're playing Wales. So I think, you know, bringing a whole bunch of young guys and, you know, veterans, I like actually how Apalele Fassi is actually coming to the party now, growing into that position at 15. But I'm super happy. And, you know, as we've been talking, it's the episode of Brotherhood. Let's see how the brothers play together. And it could be the first and last time. I hope it goes right for them.
No, I reckon they'll be pretty solid. I mean, look, they're playing against a URC team, to be completely honest here. I mean, obviously, Cameron Hanekom is going to come off the bench. And in doing so, will become the 51st Bok this year. As in, there'll be 51 Springboks have been used this year in, I think it will be the 13th game. I think they've played 13 test matches. But it's great. There's a really great mix here. Peter Steptoe gets a break because someone else has to win the Man of the Match award.
Yep.
So he gets a break. Franco Mostert, obviously, lots to prove here because long injury layout. He was a K against Scotland. All in all, love this team. Andre is going to come on as well. Jordan Hendricks was kind of discarded after that Wales game, the first Wales game. Of the start of the year, Sasha came on. Obviously, Sasha, everyone just became infatuated with from that moment.
Yep.
So I'm happy for him. I really am.
You know, the only thing I'm bleak at is that, you know,
the
Villy count. You know, we saw the Villy count.
The Villy 100 has hit a bit of a roadblock.
Yeah, I was like, Rossi, what are we doing right now? We could have just given him a cheeky. And one thing we're going to let go because we won is money's kicking. But me and you have chosen that, you know what? We live and learn, so we're going to move on from there.
Nah, exactly. So Premier League's back. I'm happy about this. I'm happy about this for a good reason, too.
Really?
Because it's time for Arsenal to get momentum.
Please, let's not start like this. I didn't want us to start like this. We've got Leicester playing Chelsea first at 2 o'clock
Saturday. Let's go straight in the fixtures, yeah?
Reason why I had to build it up, because you tried to steal my thunder. Ladies and gentlemen, we've got Arsenal playing the informed Nottingham Forest. Oh, so Arsenal fans. I've been telling you, remember, Ben got 3 golf trophies this season and we're still on the count. I hope in your hearts that you respect your fans and get 3 points, but I know you're going to choke on it and you guys are playing at 5. Ben, say what you got to say.
I'm going to make the very pertinent point here. Arsenal have started the season playing the best of the best, and they've played 6 of the top 7 from last year straight away. They're now playing Nottingham Forest, who beat Liverpool. So get them out of the way. These Oaks are going to be playing Ipswich, Crystal Palace, all the other teams. They're going to get a head of steam going up there. They're going to close the deficit, and they're going to get back into title contention.
Guys, please keep on remembering all of these things.
They're only 9 points back, right? And they've played all the best teams. And they've had injuries. I mean, Arsenal, literally, if you are a cyclist, they're in the slipstream right now. They're very well placed. They're going to time their run perfectly.
Guys,
under the radar.
Like I said, remember, we're collecting all these clips that Ben says, because the montage at the end of the season is going to be absolutely epic. Remember, this was the season. But anyway, we've got Bournemouth versus Brighton at 5 o'clock. And then we've got Man City versus Spurs. Look, guys. Man City got a win.
What a game.
We've seen Spurs like randomly catch cheeky wins. Man City.
Ever said about Spurs.
Yeah, cheeky. Look, they're on a 4-game losing streak, and we haven't seen that in a while. So I think Pep Guardiola, the international break helped him because the pressure got relieved a little bit. But if he goes 5 on the trot, this is going to be an interesting season for Man City. And, you know,
they're not going to fire him. He's just obviously extended his contract.
It's just going to be interesting. You know? Then Sunday, we've got Southampton versus Liverpool.
Boring.
Flip. Southampton, we beg for you just to give us, you know, something exciting for the season. That's at 4 o'clock. And then...
The big one!
Oh, you know...
Finally, the chosen one.
Chosen one, part 2, comes back. We've got, you know, Ruben's debut at Man United. We've got Ipswich versus Man United at 6 o'clock, ladies and gentlemen. Like I said, winds of change. I know we're 13th, but watch out now. Watch out, Ben. We're on it.
All right. So if you don't like any of that kind of football and you like it a bit more local, Telkom Knockout Cup Final. It's weird saying the word Cup Final and Pirates aren't going to be playing. Mm. But Sundowns versus Magesi. What's the story with Magesi? Like, these Oaks are just...
Just cheeky doing it. They're giving me
they're
like
just
a
getting
little...
cheeky Spurs wins.
They're giving me a little bit of Stellenbosch last season. Always underestimated, but they play great football. But oof... They're going to get Sundowns.
Yeah, I think it's going to open a shut case.
Yeah, but here's the thing. I don't think the SA players are going to be able to... I think, you know, you respect, you know, the national team players and they can't jump back into the rotation. I think that might be the only gap. But it's Sundowns.
Yeah, true.
I just don't see it happening.
It's a bit of spirit. It's a good game of that. Yeah. So Formula One is back this weekend, and it's back in Las Vegas. Now, Formula One had a really great story going through in that Lando Norris was catching Max Verstappen. But as you can see, it's almost kind of like Max just closed the door again. Yeah. Max 393 points. There's obviously this race, and there's two more after this. One of which, I think in Qatar, there's a sprint race too for extra points.
Yeah.
Charles Leclerc, he's come back spiritingly, but on 307, he's very much out of the title picture. And then we've got the Constructors, which is still anyone's game, really. McLaren, 593. Ferrari, 557. And then Max Verstappen, Bull, at 544, because we all know Checo Perez is going to do fuck all from here.
Don't even get me started on Checo. You know, Red Bull got to get rid of this, bro.
I think they will. It's just there's no point doing it now because who are they going
to... You know.
I mean, what are they going to do? Bring the Sam Allardyce of Formula One, Daniel Ricciardo in for three games.
But that Constructors is going to be super exciting.
Yeah, I think
it's
pretty cool.
Because, you know, the big thing is if Ferrari wins, they get a Lewis and, you know, the upgrades are going to be absolutely spectacular. So
yeah, so there's still lots to watch out for. And, of course, the Las Vegas race is a big night race. There's the big sphere. Logistically, it's a nightmare on the ground, but it's a really cool viewer spectacle. Which then, Sandita, leads us into the final part of the sporting week, which I know you're so excited about.
Guys, get some rest on this last.
The start of the India 5-Test Series to Australia. They're playing 5-Test matches. If you are new to cricket, they play 5-Test matches because they own cricket.
Yeah.
We play these small and yana fucking 2-Test wonders.
Also, what's beautiful is that, guys, I'm so glad India confirmed they're the best team in cricket and absolutely washed the floor with us. All you people who were busy saying it is a revenge game, rival game, I hope you guys know that you guys got humbled. India, go kick ass in Australia.
The stakes are too low in T20 cricket and cricket in general to have revenge or anything that sounds remotely provocative. That is it for episode 24 of On The Bounce Show. Remember, this weekend, watch all your sport and then share with us to try and win the That's Gold prize with Clipdrift. We're giving away another case, a case that is 4x6 of the Clippies and Cola mix. Great for summer, great around friends. So look out for the social media post on Sunday where you can just obviously add your That's Gold moment from the weekend. Mine's going to be obviously Cameron Hanekom scoring a hat-trick on debut against Wales.
And mine is going to be Man United getting 3 points
okay.
And Arsenal taking an L.
That's just mean. That's just mean. I don't know why you got to be
you
like
know
that.
I hate your fucking team, bro. That's us. That's episode 24, the Kobe Bryant episode. Cheers.
Ciao.